"Taste is All That's Left" is a provocative essay title, and the 336 comment thread it generated tells you it hit a nerve. The core argument is that as AI code generation becomes more competent, capable of producing working implementations of most standard software problems, the differentiating human skill is no longer the ability to write code. It's the ability to judge what good code looks like, what architecture serves the problem, what approach is elegant versus what approach is merely functional. The argument is that taste, aesthetic, and technical judgment becomes the scarce resource.
I find this argument both compelling and slightly too neat. It's compelling because there's genuine truth to it. Senior engineers have always been valuable primarily for judgment rather than typing speed. But it's slightly too neat because it implies a cleaner separation between execution and judgment than actually exists. Taste is developed through execution. You learn what good code looks like by writing a lot of code and suffering the consequences of bad decisions. If AI handles execution, do future engineers develop the taste that comes from that suffering?
The Coinbase piece on interviewing engineers in the AI era addresses exactly that question from a hiring perspective. They spent a year rebuilding their engineering interview process, and the post is candid about what they found. The traditional LeetCode style assessment became obviously gameable with AI assistance. But the replacement isn't simply don't allow AI. It's shifting evaluation towards system design, architectural reasoning, and the ability to critique and improve AI-generated code rather than just produce code from scratch.
Which validates the taste argument in a specific, practical way. If your interview is now evaluating whether a candidate can identify the subtle performance issue in a piece of code, or whether they can articulate why a proposed microservices decomposition will create operational problems 18 months from now, those are taste questions. And they're substantially harder to evaluate than did you solve the graph traversal problem correctly.
The Herder joins YC announcement is a useful data point on the startup ecosystem. Herder is a workflow orchestration runtime. Think of it as a competitor in the space occupied by tools like Temporal, and their announcement explicitly commits to keeping the runtime open source even as they join the YC accelerator. That's a deliberate positioning choice that addresses the concern many infrastructure companies face. Will the commercial entity that develops the open source tool eventually restrict or close the core?
The runtime stays open commitment is strategically smart because Temporal itself has faced that tension. The open source and commercial versions have diverged in ways that created community frustration. Herder is signaling early that they won't follow that path, which is a competitive differentiator in a market where developer trust is a significant procurement input.
The New Orleans emergency call. AI story is a quieter story, but one with real stakes. The city is testing Carbine's AI-powered triage for 911 calls, meaning AI is doing initial call assessment before dispatching human operators or determining response priority. The HN comment thread was sharply divided, with one camp arguing this could dramatically improve response times in an understaffed dispatch environment, and another arguing that the failure mode for incorrect AI triage of a medical or violent emergency is simply unacceptable.
The HN comments flagged that Carbine has an interesting background. It was founded in Israel with significant connections to intelligence community alumni, which in the context of surveillance adjacent technology raises questions that are worth asking even if the product itself is legitimate. Emergency dispatch data is extremely sensitive. Call locations, nature of emergencies, response times, medical information. What data does the AI system retain? And who has access to it?
This feels like a natural place to do our what if we're wrong exercise, because there's a very confident claim circulating in the HN community and in tech circles broadly that I want to stress test.
Which claim are you targeting?
The silicon etched model architecture from AMD Talos. The community consensus in the 536 comment thread was fairly confident that this represents a compelling technical path for edge inference, that the memory bandwidth advantage is so structurally significant that this approach will carve out a meaningful category of the inference market. I want to push on that.
Walk me through your doubt.
The core assumption is that the inference workloads you'd want to run on this hardware are stable enough that baking the model into silicon is worth the inflexibility. But consider the update cadence of AI models over the past 4 years. GPT-3 to GPT-4 to GPT-4, O to GPT-5 to GPT-5.6, each transition happened faster than the previous one. And each transition involved models that were architecturally different enough that you couldn't simply swap weights. If that pace continues, you're potentially deploying silicon with a model that's two architectural generations behind before the chip's product lifetime is even half over.
That's a real tension. The counter-argument from the Talis perspective would be that there's a class of enterprise deployments, compliance-sensitive applications, industrial control systems, medical devices, where you explicitly don't want the model to change. Regulatory approval, validation, liability. A hospital running an AI diagnostic tool doesn't want OpenAI to silently update the model it's depending on. Silicon-level immutability is a feature for those customers, not a bug.
Agreed. But here's the assumption I'd flag as potentially wrong, that AMD can identify those stable, regulated deployment categories at sufficient volume to justify the fabrication economics. Custom silicon at scale requires committed volume to amortize the non-recurring engineering costs. If the addressable market for AI inference that must be immutable is smaller than AMD is modeling, the economics don't work. And the regulatory environments that might most benefit from this, FDA-approved medical AI, for example, have historically moved very slowly on adopting new hardware architectures.
So if we're wrong about the AMD Talis bet being strategically sound, what would tell us?
Watch the design win announcements over the next 18 months. If AMD can name two or three enterprise customers in regulated verticals who have committed to the Talis architecture for production deployment, not pilots, production, that validates the market thesis. If the use cases remain confined to academic demonstrations and edge IoT scenarios with low inference volumes, the economics are going to be very difficult to sustain against competition from software-optimized approaches like VLLM running on standard silicon. The acquisition price matters here too. If AMD paid a premium that only makes sense with significant market penetration, and that penetration doesn't materialize, this is an expensive bet that didn't pay off.
And the model update velocity question is the one I'd watch most closely. If frontier model architectures stabilize, if we hit a plateau where a given architecture remains the state of the art for 3 or 4 years rather than 12 to 18 months, the silicon etching proposition gets much stronger. If the pace of architectural change continues or accelerates, the flexibility advantage of software-based inference becomes decisive.